Isn't God good? As we come to this morning, if we were all in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the General Assembly worship service this morning, we would be in a communion service in which a general superintendent would preach, and afterwards Nazarene elders from around the world would be serving the different sections where they sit in that great arena. And the General Assembly really kicks off with the communion service. I thought that it would be good for us this morning to have a time of communion. And having a time of communion and starting to talk about kicking off a new ministry outreach program in the church to reach people for Jesus, that's a pretty big step. That's a giant kind of a thing. For a church of any size. You see, it's not just churches of 10,000 like Capinas that starts churches. It's not churches of 1,000. Some churches started at house churches. Some churches started, I've heard stories, they started with just one or two or three people, and maybe they reached out to someone else and they started another church. To start a church or to start a ministry is a giant kind of a thing. And it might be something this morning that some of us are having a hard time wrapping our head around. And you've probably faced things in your life before that just seem like, man, this is monumental. I don't know if I can think about it. I don't know if I can handle that situation. What do I do when I face a giant? Well, the Hase's son is 11 years old, Samuel. I want to read to you a story of a little boy who was about 11 years old when he took on a giant that his big brothers couldn't handle. Stand together with me if you would. Take your Bibles. I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 51. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 51. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, the Almighty God, the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He'll give it all of you into your hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down into the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, and he drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Pastor Carmo, would you pray for God's blessing on his word this morning? You may be seated. From time to time, each of us face giants in our lives. Could be financial giant. It could be a physical or a medical giant, a relationship kind of giant. Could be a tax bill kind of a giant. Could be a situation that you just don't know how to handle, and that challenge is larger than life to you. As you face that challenge, it becomes awful easy to get discouraged. You think, man, we're going to lose it right here. We're going to die right here facing this situation. How do you defeat a giant? The youngest brother goes to the battlefield. And he goes there he's proud of his older brothers. They're in the army. They're fighting for the king. his lands in a battle, and he goes really to take refreshments. It's not milk and cookies, but could you imagine your younger brother or sister bringing milk and cookies to you right on the battlefield where you're facing a giant? Or snacks? You know, like a little baggie of snacks? David's bringing snacks to his brothers. He's really there because he's got big eyes, and he knows that they're mighty soldiers, and he wants to hear what they've done and encourage that he would be encouraged to hear the great exploits. And seeing he gets there and the things are just totally upside down. His brothers are not encouraged. They're scared to death. The giant in front of them is so big, they've made him even, he may be 9 feet tall, but they've made him 90 feet tall. You see, we have this way in our minds sometimes and in our hearts of making giants even 10 times bigger than what they really are. And this giant had so scared and consumed not only King Saul, but all of King Saul's men, that they were paralyzed with fear there on the battlefield. An army that's paralyzed with fear on the battlefield is an army that's going to be defeated. A military that's paralyzed on the arena where they're battling is going to have one that's going to really be challenged to survive. What kind of giant are you facing today? What kind of challenge is in front of you that it just seems like, looking at it through earthly eyes, this is impossible? Sometimes maybe as a church, we've faced things in the past, and maybe we're facing something right now. And maybe in your family, you faced something in the past, or you're facing something right now, and you look at it, as I talked about, and you put it down on paper, it just don't add up, and you think, there's no way in the world that we're going to get through this. There's no way in the world that we're going to take down that challenge. You might look at it and say, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough personnel, don't have enough facilities. Maybe we don't have enough faith. David's brothers didn't have enough faith. They didn't see any way that they could defeat that giant. Saul, who was a great military leader, had been. Great armament. He was something in his armament. He was one that they looked up to. He stood head and shoulders over others. So he was one that it was easy to look up and to see him and to adore him and to have great respect for him as a soldier and a leader. But in face of that giant, King Saul was like a little boy. Taking down a giant is going to resolve, or is going to require, our heart, our head, and our hand to be used by the Lord. Victory over a giant's not going to happen easy. It happens only when our head and our heart and our hands all come together. What's in your head? What's in your heart? What's in your hands? Is it something that has been able to and is able to be used by the Lord in David's head? David knew, I can't fight this giant with somebody else's armament. King Saul says, I want to help this little guy out. I don't want him to go out there and just get slaughtered. I want at least the process to be slow. So I'm going to give him my armament. If you looked ahead at chapter 17, verses 38 and 39. And Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on his head. He fastened his sword over the tunic. He tried to walk around, and sure, he was not used to them. David says, I can't go out there because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Sometimes folks, meaning well, trying to help us, give us their armament to fight our battles. They give us their armament to fight our giants. I'm 6'2" and I wear big and tall clothes. What would it look like for, who's the youngest person in here? Who's the littlest person? I'm married to about the shortest person in here. If I had battle armor, I'll pay a price when I get home, but that's okay. If I had a suit of armor that was my size and I put it on Susan and sent Susan out to face the giant, how would that work? Wouldn't work at all. By the same token, if she was to give me her armor to go out and fight, it'd be lucky to be a miniskirt. Probably get in trouble and get arrested. Saul was trying to help. He meant well, but he didn't understand that you can't fight the giants in front of you with somebody else's gear on. You've got to have gear that's fit to you, that you're trained to use, that you know how to use. You got to be able to resolve in your own mind that if I got a chance to take this giant on, it's going to require that my head be in the game and that I be appropriately attired, appropriately armed for the battle that's in front of me. Saying to the king, it was gutsy for an 11-year or 12-year-old boy to say, "King, I can't wear your stuff. I'm not used to it." It would have come across as a height of insult for him to take off the king's armament. But I think anybody with two eyes and looking at it see that 11-year-old little boy could not handle the armament of a mighty tall king. He had to have a game plan in his head. If I'm going to take on that giant, this is what I need. And then in his heart, in verses 45 to 47, David is saying to the giant, "You come against me with sword and spear and giant, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And on this day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Can't you see Goliath? This little 11-year-old boy is not even going to be worth spitting at, let alone killing. He won't be a challenge at all. It was the last one that Goliath ever laughed at, was that little boy. Because in that little boy's head, he had a game plan, and he knew his God was God. In his heart, he knew that God was God and was going to enable him to take that giant on, and he was going to be defeated, and it wouldn't be a battle at all. It wasn't a question of whether I've got to go out there and be scared. He had already won the battle before he went to the battlefield. His head and his heart were in agreement that this is what God wants me to do, and this is how it's going to happen. God wants to use what's in your hand. Now, his brothers and his king had armament and had shields and swords. He had five small rocks and a sling. He had used those before when he was a shepherd boy to fight off lions and bears that were coming to attack the sheep. But on this day, he went out into the battlefield, standing face to face with a giant. He put one little stone in that sling, and you know the story. He slung it around, and he let it go, and it went, and it hit the guy right between the eyes. Sal, I'd like to be able to shoot like that. I can remember stories of my dad. They played with slingshots and stuff when he was little, and they'd get to be quite good, you know. And some of you probably remember Andy Griffith's show, and you remember the one where Opie kills a bird with a slingshot? Good shot. He didn't mean it to be that good, but it was a good shot. But David's hand was being controlled by God, and as he let go, God made sure that the rock went right straight to the target. The weakest point for the giant was right here. Did you know that every giant that we face has a weak point? God knows where it is. And if we give him our head, our heart, and our hand, he will lead us to that place, and the giant will be taken down in the glory of God. A little boy. Can you imagine the armies out there? They're scared to death. They're looking on. His brothers are kind of like, you know, I don't want to peek. How am I going to tell Mom, you know, that we let our little baby brother get killed? And probably looking through the fingers, they see that giant fall down, and their little baby brother's the one who's the victor, and they see him come out and take the sword and chop off Goliath's head. Can you imagine what it's like when they went back home to tell Mom? Mom said, how'd it go today on the battlefield? Did you guys take on the giant? Well, yeah, who killed the giant? David. We're not supposed to lie at home. David's the youngest. What's he doing on the battlefield? No, Mom, seriously. David was the one who took him down. You should have seen it. He went out there face to face with a giant. Giant was insulting him, and he says, I'm going to take you down in the mighty name of God. And he took the slingshot and went in one rock, and he went right there, and boom, he falls down, and he cuts off his head. What did I tell you about lying? No, Mom, it's really true. Dad, it's really true. Our God was victorious today. And that little guy became the one, I imagine they lifted him up on their shoulders, and he became known as the giant killer. But David was not the last one to face giants. And he's not the last one to take them down in unconventional methods. You and I face giants as well. And when you face a giant, God may have a game plan to take down that giant that's far different than what you had figured out. You might say, well, you know, I need such and such an armor, and I need such and such an ammo, I need this, that, and the other, I need this kind of game plan. And all of a sudden, God drops in your lap, this is what I want you to do now. And it sounds crazy. Doesn't look like it's going to work, but you go out there in the battlefield and you just simply obey the Lord. And boom, the giant falls. The enemy's defeated. Where the devil had meant discouragement, God brings encouragement. You see, God uses what's in our head. He uses what's in our heart. He uses what's in our hand that we totally give to Him. And we come to Christ, it's His power, His peace, and His presence. And as we come to communion time this morning, we understand that it's the power of His shed blood, the power of His broken body, that's used to give us strength that we stop to remember. We remember what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We remember what He did for us in conquering the giant of sin, death, and the grave. And we remember that the power that we receive from His shed blood covering our sins and His broken body, broken for us, along with His Spirit, gives and filling to us that we can take on giants. Today we stop to remember. We stop to say thank you. We also learn that in times of communion, just like in life, if you went on a work and witness trip and you were doing training for it, one of the things that said, blessed are the adaptable. Typically, when we do communion, we've usually done it with small, clear cups and bread being passed out to you. Well, we found out this morning we didn't have enough small, clear cups. So you get bigger, clear cups because we're taking on a giant today and you need more juice. And God's going to help us. And Pastor Fred was going to be here this morning. He called me this morning to say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't have a good night last night. I'm not able to come today, but I'll be here praying for you all. And had prayer with him on the phone. He said, Sue's coming. And this is the first week that, how about, she's the first time she's been able to be in church in several weeks. Don't you just, we love Pastor Fred and Sue and the way that they minister. But this morning, I have some gentlemen that are going to help me, and we're going to ask you to help us. Typically, we would bring the juice and wafers to you, but we're going to be across the front this morning. Some are going to be holding plates of bread. Some are going to be helping to hand out juice, and we want to see everybody come and receive that would like to come and receive the cup and also receive the bread. Go back to your seat and be seated and hold them, and we'll all take them together. And it'll be my privilege this morning. Pastor Fred was going to be standing beside me, but also Pastor Carmo was going to be here. And we're going to bless the elements in English and in Portuguese. And I just think that's cool. God, I'm so glad of what you're doing. You're doing amazing things in our midst. More than what we can even imagine. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29, it says, "For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant of my blood, and do this, and whenever you do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of the bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever drinks of the bread and drinks of the cup, eats the bread and drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man or woman ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of our Lord eats and drinks judgment upon themselves." In Luke chapter 22, picking up at verse 14, when the hour had come, and gentlemen, come if you would to the front that are going to help us serve. When the hour had come, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, but I'll tell you, I'll not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I'll not drink it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to him. "This is my body that's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant of my blood that's poured out for you." This morning, you will receive the elements of the cup and the bread as you come to receive it. We do ask that you hold it until we've all been served, and then we'll have the pleasure and the privilege of being able to be at the Lord's table together. The gentlemen are going to help us. We have bread here, guys. If a couple of you would like go to the outside aisle with the bread trays, and a couple of you would be here in the center. I'm going to ask you to kind of come towards the center section to receive your juice, and then slip around and take to receive your bread. We hope the traffic flow will be such that it'll work, but we want everyone to be served. Pastor Carmo, or if you and I could come and we could be at the table helping to hand out the juice to all that receive, and we'll see that everybody gets served. Please stand. Let's come to the Lord's table. If you'd like to receive this morning, the table is open for you.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so love so amazing.
Let's pray. Pai amado, em nome de Jesus, nós gostaríamos de louvar o teu santo nome nessa manhã. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for this wonderful after day morning. Pai amado, em nome de Jesus, gostaríamos também de pedir a bênção do Senhor sobre a igreja. Nós consagramos agora o pão e o vinho. Also, we'd like to consecrate the wine and the bread in this morning. We'd like to worship you, adore you for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you very much for the bread. Thank you very much for your body. Thank you very much for the wine. Thank you very much for everything. E que o teu nome seja glorificado e exaltado nesse momento. Em nome de Jesus e para a glória de Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
After supper, he took the bread and he broke it. He blessed it. Said, take, eat, this is my broken body that's broken for you. It's been blessed in English and Portuguese. Please take and eat. And remember the strength that he gives us in his brokenness. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. It's the cup of the new vine, the cup of redemption. This is my blood that's been poured out for you. Take and drink, and as often as you do, remember me and my love for you. Take and drink. Precious Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a giant killer.
Yes.
And you've killed the giant of the power of sin in our lives.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Through Jesus. And this morning we, as your church here, are part of the body of Christ. We say that we need you. We need the power and strength that comes in your brokenness and your shed blood. To help us to be able to reach men and women, boys and girls, yes, of all nationalities,
yes,
our neighbors, our friends, our family, those that we come in contact with at the store or on the job, to let them know that Jesus has power to defeat the giants in their lives.
Amen.
This morning, we give you praise. We give you honor. And Lord, we thank you. We believe you're doing something new. You're beginning something anew again here.
Amen.
And we're just going to rejoice not only along the way, but in heaven. Heaven's going to be a richer place because of the folks that come to know Jesus.
Thank you.
By a step of faith that Calvary Church took, the Somerville Church, and the Mateus family, and the Carmos family, and all of our lovely folks within the two churches. Help us to be sensitive to those around us that need Jesus.
Amen.
We ask all this in your precious name. I'm going to ask Pastor Carmo if he would to offer a benediction in Portuguese, and then I have an announcement to share.
Pai amado, em nome de Jesus, nós queremos glorificar o teu nome mais uma vez, Senhor, pelo privilégio de tomarmos a comunhão, Senhor. Pedimos agora em nome de Jesus que o Senhor estenda as tuas mãos sobre nós, Senhor. Venha abençoar essa igreja, venha abençoar o nosso coração, venha abençoar a liderança dessa igreja, venha abençoar esse novo passo de fé que eles têm dado diante da tua presença, Senhor. Nós queremos agora abençoar a tua igreja, abençoar o teu povo, Senhor, e que tenhamos uma semana abençoada na tua presença.
Yeah.
E que o teu Espírito Santo, Senhor,
yeah,
venha trabalhar no nosso coração, de uma maneira poderosa e gloriosa, Senhor. Nos abençoe, Senhor. Oramos por cada brasileiro nessa área, Senhor. Que o Senhor venha alcançá-los, abençoá-los e tocá-los. No nome de Jesus e para a glória de Jesus. Amém, Senhor. Amém.
Amém. Isn't that beautiful? I think that'll be a part of the language of heaven. Normally we have church at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. But we're making you aware of something that's special that's happening today that you will probably want to be at your computer or smartphone or whatever. General Assembly is going on, and the closing Sunday service is this afternoon at 4 o'clock to 5:30. They are live streaming it. You can go, there's directions in your bulletin, or you can go to ncnnews.com or nazarene.org, find General Assembly. There's a link for the live stream. The service is an hour and a half long. Tonight, from Venice, Cape Verde. Who's the general superintendent from Cape Verde?
His name is from Portugal Cable, Green Cable.
Diaz, no.
I forgot
I'm bringing.
Sorry.
I can picture it. I know it as good as I know mine. I don't know mine right now. He's a tremendous preacher. He's going to be preaching during that 4 o'clock to 5:30 service. I watched the service last night. I don't know how many of you watched it, but there was one song that they sang, Redeemed, and on the platform they had people in 20 different languages that were singing in the whole arena. It's a multi, you know, we're around the world. We're in 150-plus world areas. And they were singing that song in 20 different languages. It was cool. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, but you would want to take advantage of the opportunity. If you could click in and watch that service, that will take the place of our evening worship service here. Watch it online at home. Stand together with me. Hug one another. We love you, folks. God's got great things in store for us.